Okay, welcome to another segment of Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. I have the lovely Diane Andreville here with me. Diane, how was your weekend?
It was good. Yours?
Pretty good. We did not play this past weekend. We've been pretty busy. Like I said last week, we traveled three of the past 4 weekends, so we took a weekend off before we open up conference play this weekend. But I did have a busy weekend. Friday night, I was in Montreal. I watched Vanier College play Champlain St. Lambert. Good game. We're recruiting some athletes from there. Saturday afternoon, I went to Concordia and saw Concordia play Carleton. And then I went to McGill and I saw McGill play Ottawa. And then Sunday morning, I went to Vanier College to do some recruiting. So it was pretty busy out there. Recruiting's a, you know, probably the biggest part of my job. And it's, I have to sell the program constantly and try to make people aware of Bishop's University and what we have to offer. I think we have a great product to sell, and we're different from the other 4 schools in our conference. For instance, Laval, McGill, Concordia, and UCAM all have 40,000 students. We're lucky here at Bishop's. We have 2,500. We have small class sizes. We have a beautiful small college feel to it. Recently, we signed 2 girls from Argentina. We signed a point guard from their under-17 junior national team, their team captain and leading scorer. Her name is Amikane Siciliano, and we signed her teammate, a 6-foot post player from the under-17 junior national team from Argentina, whose name is Tamara Pinto. So we're extremely pleased with that, and that's bolstered our recruiting moving forward. On, you know, but some you win, some you lose. We lost 2 girls from Champlain-Lennoxville. One went to, decided to sign with the University of Vermont, Sarah Wells, and Emma Huff decided to sign with UBC Okanagan. So, I mean, those are the recruiting trails. Diane knows all about that. She helps host a bunch of girls when they come in. Diane, do you have the scores from the other, from our conference foes this weekend?
Yes, so Laval beat Ottawa 68-55 on Friday. And on Saturday, Carleton beat Concordia 55-50. For Concordia, their top scorer were Ashley Moss with 16 points and Jasmine Baker with 12 points. And then the same day, McGill beat Ottawa 74-44. And their leading scorer were number 11 with 18 points and Alice Kisrusk with 14 points. And on Sunday, Carleton beat McGill again 55-51 points. And for McGill, their leading scorer were number 4, Podvint, with 15 points, and number 21 with 13 points.
Now, those are interesting scores because we played a lot of those common opponents. So we played Ottawa. McGill hammered them pretty good, and Laval was in a close contest with them. And we managed to beat Ottawa. Now, we lost to Carleton by 9 at Carleton, but Carleton beat McGill at McGill by 5, and they beat Concordia by 4 at Concordia. So, you know, we feel we're right in the mix. You know, we had to play without Marimar Chizotti. So, you know, that was an interesting weekend for us, and we were able to gauge ourselves against the best teams in the country. And we're happy where we're sitting right now. Now, in terms of our roster, we had a couple of roster moves this week. Unfortunately, Janae Grayer, a 5th-year senior from Windsor, Ontario, who rejoined the program after a couple of years of sitting out, she, for personal reasons, she was going to leave the program at Christmas, so we decided to just stop the process right now, moving forward, going into conference play. She's a tremendous young lady, and she brought a lot to our program, and we wish her nothing but success. You know, on a positive note, Jessica Dodig, a multi-sport athlete who played first semester soccer, is rejoining our program, and she was in practice this morning and looked terrific. And Marimar Chizotti, who's been out for the last 6 games with a broken left thumb, is seeing the team doctor this afternoon. So we hope to have her back in action tomorrow morning. We will be back in a minute with the Meet a Gator segment, and we'll have Michelin Gebeles coming up. Welcome back to Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. This is a Meet a Gator segment. We're very fortunate today. We have Michelin Gebeles, one of my favorite players of all time, a player I hounded to come to Bishop's University. Micheline, welcome. Welcome to our show.
Hello.
Can you please tell us a bit about yourself growing up, your childhood and your family?
Well, I'm the youngest of a family of five. I was single raised by my mother. We all played a particular sport. My brothers played football. I played football as well. And yep, that's about it.
So sports was a big part of your life growing up?
It was.
Okay. Now, can you talk to us a bit about where you went to high school and elementary school maybe?
Elementary school, I lived in Pointe Saint-Charles, which you really know where is it. So I went to Jean Lebert, which is a francophone elementary school. I stayed there until grade 5. Then I moved to the East End, Saint-Michel, which is like really different compared to Pointe Saint-Charles. And there I went from grade 6 until I did all my high school there at Louis-Joseph Papineau.
So you went to school in French?
Yeah, so, all my life.
So your whole life you're studying as a francophone?
Yep.
All right. Now I know that you ended up at Champlain-Saint-Lambert, a great school, playing for a great coach. And I'm wondering what that process was like for you, the recruiting process. How many schools were recruiting you, and how did you make the decision to go to Champlain-Saint-Lambert?
If I recall, almost all the Quebec schools in like Montreal were recruiting me. But after that, my two choices was Champlain and Dawson, which was a really, really, really difficult moment to choose because both of them were like my type of play and the school-wise. But the one that stands out more was Champlain College because it was more of a small school. And for me, I needed that for my academics in order to achieve in life.
Okay, so now, when did you play for the Quebec team? Was that during high school?
Yeah.
What age were you at when you made the Quebec team initially?
I think my first year was, I was 14 years old.
Okay.
Just started to play basketball. I remember like it was yesterday. I was at Dawson College. We were playing the Dawson community or something like that. So then after, all I see is one of the recruiters, the coaches, that came up to me and they asked me if I wanted to do the tryouts.
So you've been an elite player for a long time.
Yeah.
Right? And I mean, we're talking with a young lady here who's represented the province at national championships, and she was recruited heavily by Trevor Williams at Dawson College and by George Germanos at Champlain. Now, can you talk a bit about your career at Champlain and maybe some of the difficulties you faced there and some of the highlights of your career?
Champlain was a great fit for me. I do not regret going there. Academically, it was hard at the beginning because I had to start a session off because I didn't finish high school. So I had to start a session off before everybody. Then after, I had to play catch up. So the hardest part, it was my transition from Francophone schools to an English school, which is really, really difficult in terms of like homeworks and the seriousness as well.
I mean, and let's be honest here. Like, I mean, number one, you're playing basketball. You're committed to that. You're trying to get a scholarship at the next level. You're traveling probably an hour and a half back and forth each day to go to school. And you're trying to study in a different language. That must have been difficult.
Yeah. That time it was more about time management. I had to manage to stay focused and like wake up early, take the bus, the train, until I had my license, which helped me at my third year. I had a car. I was able to shorten the distance from like an hour, 30 minutes to like 20 minutes of drive. So it really helped me.
Perfect. Now, can you talk a bit about, just because, you know, I have the utmost respect for that program and the type of athletes they produce. And I know how hard George Germanos works and Michel Metzulis. Can you talk a bit about the impact they had on your life?
They had a great impact, a big, big one, in terms of me growing up as a person. Like, everybody think about sports as athletes, but basketball helped me grow as a person as well, being a disciplined person, as well as leadership too. I learned and gained leadership through this team, program too. They helped me a lot, and they were able to put me back up when I was down at some moments.
Now, you're probably one of the more focused athletes that I've recruited over the years. I like so many times I went into the gym and Michelin was in there shooting and always working on her game and was very clear that on her dream that she wanted to go to the United States and have a Division I scholarship. And I know that you just fell short of that, but I'm sure there would have been schools that would be just drooling to have you on their team. Now, can you talk a bit about being recruited by University of Vermont and then ultimately ending up at Bishop's?
The recruiting process was really hard in terms of like focusing, because at the same time you're playing and all you see is coaches everywhere.
Yeah. They were in your gym a lot, correct? What? Like, I mean, I went there on a number of occasions and you would have four or five NCAA Division I schools there and maybe a CIS coach here and there. Like, what kind of pressure was that on you?
It was a pressure of remaining focused. It doesn't mean that you see a coach that you need to overdo some, like, plays just to keep the attention of the coaches. It's just you need to be natural, need to be the same player as if they weren't there, and to block all the outsiders or the crowd that's looking at you.
Now, Michelin, you were probably, you know, at that point for me, you were my biggest, like the first kid who committed to Bishop's that was an impact player in my, since I took over the program. And I remember distinctly, I was on the bus from Sherbrooke to Montreal to go recruiting, and I got a phone call and it was you, and you committed to Bishop's, and I almost screamed in the bus. And I'm just wondering, how has that decision turned out for you? Are you happy with the decision? What are your thoughts on Bishop's University and the basketball program?
I'm grateful. No regrets. I think it was a great fit for me. Just like going to Champlain here, Bishop, it's a community. It's a small school. So I'm able to talk to my teachers, do homeworks. I have teammates that help me. Noemi Amel-Petit was the greatest player for me to help me go through that first year. And yeah, I'm really grateful to be there and really happy to be there.
You know, and I think it's important for people out there to realize that it's not all butterflies and rainbows every day in a program. Like me and Michelin, you know, we butted heads a bit in our first year and we had to get to learn to trust one another. I remember, I don't know if you remember this, Mitch, but I remember before our last league game last year, me and you were yelling and screaming at each other in my office, and then we finished the season off tremendously, and I think our relationship has grown since then. Can you touch on that a bit? Just some of the ups and downs and how you have to overcome them.
Yeah, but you know these things may happen with, but it's just, if you're ready to go after a coach or something, is you have to go with respect. Like, and in my point of view, it was just a miscommunication that we had. And now until then, everything went on the rise, and it's great.
Yeah. And you know what? I agree with you totally. You know, I think once we learned how to communicate and understood one another, me and you are identical. We just both want to win.
Right.
All right. Now, one of the things I'm most proud of with Michelin is the fact that she's become a tremendous student, all right? She's a student athlete, and she spends just as much time in the gym. I'm hoping you could tell the people out there what you're studying and how like what your academics mean to you, and do you want to do some graduate work in the future?
Technically, I am enrolled in a double major in psychology and sports studies, but I prefer more sports studies because it drains more of like who I am. Well, I really, really like the program. It helped me a lot. I started off low in CJEP, and now my average is 73%, which is not big, but it's an accomplishment for me because of where I've came from, and my past was really difficult.
I think it's tremendous, and I think those marks are going to continue to go up. Now, can you touch a bit, you know, it's a basketball show, and now we'll can you touch a bit about some of your strengths and weaknesses as a player?
Oh. So, like everybody must know, my weaknesses is a shooting ability, shooting confidence. Sometimes I tend to overthink, so I don't want to shoot it. I don't know why, but I need to focus on that. And I know that it will come. I go to practice with my friends, like in the gym often. So I think that with confidence, it will come, and you guys are going to see me shoot during games. And one of my strengths is my athleticism. Is I am able to be a good defender, to defend the ball, to be aggressive, and a good leader.
Well, I would have to, like I said last week when Ashley Milan was here, I agree with all that. Like, it's great self-awareness. Michelin is working tremendously hard on her shot. For instance, this morning you were shooting the ball tremendously well.
Thank you.
I've always got an eye on it. Michelin is now, she's becoming, she's not thinking as much. She's tremendous getting to the rim. She's a premier defender, all right? But the best thing about Michelin, all right, is her character and what she brings, the intangibles she brings to our team are off the charts, all right? And you got to understand that she's just a tremendous athlete. All right, and she's just going to get better and better because she works so hard. Now, here's a crazy question, Michelin. All right, and people don't realize, probably for the first time in my coaching career, I didn't even really have to think about who the leaders were on the team. I had to go with Edith Noblechilla and Mara Marchesotti, who are fifth-year players, but Michelin Gabalis, as a second year, is a captain on our team. And I'm wondering, where does your leadership, your natural leadership ability comes from? Because you don't force it, it just comes natural. What's the story with that?
It's my toughness, which brings me to my ability to talk to players, to relate with players, to help players, to be vocal. My leadership is more a vocal leadership. I like to just help my teammates, and my energy that I could bring, like my intensity during games, if it is after a teammate that does an N1, I'm just going to scream and just bring like all the energy so that it could like transform the old terms of Bishop's Gators women's basketball and just bring another good vibes to the teammates. And yeah, that's about
it. So where, Michelin, do you think we're ready to go this weekend against UCAM? Are you ready to play?
Ready.
I think the team is just so excited and ready to go. We need to play right now. I wish we were playing tomorrow. Do you feel the same way?
Always, coach. Always now, ready to play.
Now, Michelin, you got to understand that you're also a role model, all right, for so many young ladies out there. What words of wisdom would you have for a young lady out there who wants to follow in your footsteps?
Work out a lot. Don't take little things for granted. Just listen to your coaches. Sometimes he could be hard on you, but this is a sign that he cares for you and he just wants you to be a better person and a better player.
Great. Now, just to top it all off, where do you see yourself 5 years from now?
Still at school.
Still at school?
Obviously, still at school.
You strike me as a young lady who may play professional basketball. Are you thinking about that?
Yes, a bit. But I have to be realistic a bit and think about like completing my academics first, and then after where anything that comes up to me, I will take it.
Well, Michelin, you know what? If I'm your mom or your dad right now, I'm so proud of you. I'm privileged to be your coach, and I thank you so much for taking the time to spend some time here with Craig Norman.
Thank you, coach.
Have a great day and best of luck on the court and in the classroom this year.
Yeah, thank you. Torn between half-truth and victimization.
Fighting back. Okay, welcome back to Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. Today we're very, very fortunate. We're joined by somewhat of a legend in our community, a man who's dabbled in the community, different institutions. He was at Galt, he was at Champlain Lennoxville, he was at Bishop's, he's dabbled in politics. He's a member of the Wall of Distinction, Sports Hall of Fame at Bishop's University. He worked with the Canada Games. Tommy Allen, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Well, nice to be here.
Can you please touch a bit on growing up and how sports was a part of this?
Well, actually, we were very lucky. My father and mother were both very avid sports participants. Especially my dad. He went to Western Ontario. He played for the legendary Johnny Metris in between the wars and after the war. And he was a multi-talented athlete. He was in track. He was in basketball. He was 6'6". He weighed 250 pounds. So he was sort of a legend back then. People weren't that big. So he had us playing everything as a kid. I had two other brothers and a sister, and we all participated in a wide variety of sports.
So where did you first go to university, and what did you study?
Well, I actually went to St. Thomas University in Fredericton, New Brunswick, the year it moved from Chatham, New Brunswick, 1964, to study history, but probably more importantly, to play varsity hockey. So I played there for 3 years, and then I transferred.
So how did you end up at Bishop's University? And more importantly, how did you end up being a multi-sport athlete there? Because that would put some serious demands on your academics and athletics.
Well, but that was the nature of the beast back then, Craig. We were all playing two sports, not everybody. But I transferred back to Bishop's because I wanted to play some football. I had never really played football before. My father knew Bruce Coulter. I had a few friends at Bishop's because I grew up in Montreal, and I was back in Montreal in summers. And so we decided to give it a try, and I went to Bishop's, and I made both teams and played both sports, football for three years, and then hockey for two more because there was an eligibility extension I was out of. So it was wonderful playing too. And one game I remember, we played football in November. It was the last season game. And that night, because about eight of us played hockey on the hockey team too, so we bounced eight guys and we played hockey the same day against Queens, and we beat them.
Wow. So tell me, what are your memories of being a student athlete at Bishop's?
Well, I think like anywhere else, you know, it gave you a sense of belonging. It wasn't one of those things where you were a higher profile than anybody else, but it really taught you how to be disciplined. I mean, we started practicing in August, and I didn't finish practicing till the middle of March when hockey was over. So can you imagine, you're practicing sports for 6 months a year?
Wow.
And it taught us a lot. It really did.
So when you were at Bishop's, after you came from St. Thomas, you were studying education. Is that correct?
Well, I had to do my BA first. The system was a little bit different. And when you did your BA or your BSc, then, or your business degree, if you wanted to become a teacher, you had to take a diploma in education, a full-year program the year after. It's changed the way it is right now. So that's the way it worked back in the 60s.
So take us back. So after you graduate from Bishop's University, you end up at Alexander Galt.
Yeah, my wife and I had gotten married that summer in 69. She got a job. She went to McGill, so that's okay.
Yeah.
And we'll
give her a break on that
one. We'll forgive her for that one. And she got a job at Galt 6970 when I was in education. And then next year, she enjoyed it. And I said, well, let me try it. And I got a job. And lo and behold, from 1970 to 2017, we're still in London. Well, we're still in the area.
So now you're at Galt for a couple of years. And then you end up at Champlain-Lennoxville. Is that correct?
Yeah, the CEGEP system came about. And then eventually Champlain-Lennoxville was looking for what they called back then a sports animator, which developed into a director of athletics position. And I was at Champlain from 73 to 79.
So now let's fast forward a bit again. And now in the late 70s, you end up back at Bishop's University. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was lucky. Bruce offered me a job as director of athletic facilities. I jumped on it and I stayed there till the end.
And then in the 90s, you took over, you became the athletic director, is that correct?
Very fortunate. Bruce retired in 91, and Dr. Scott, Hugh Scott, appointed me to succeed him, which was an absolute honor to be able to follow in Bruce's footsteps.
So it's when you look at your career, you started as a student athlete, teacher, coach, athletic director, they're all sort of interconnected, would you not agree?
Well, coaching is teaching.
Yeah.
To me, it's exactly the same thing. You prepare. You impart your knowledge, you give them tests and quiz, which I did often, especially in training camp. And the only big difference in sport between the classroom is remember Robin Burns, a professor at Bishop's, told me, he says, the only thing difference between you and me, Tom, is you got to put your product out there on Saturday, and everybody's got to look at it, and they get to evaluate you.
Exactly.
They never evaluate me within the four walls of a classroom. They might do it at the end of the year, but you have to put it on display publicly. That was probably the biggest single difference between coaching and teaching.
Now, you've seen university sports over a number of decades, Can you maybe touch on some of the challenges you faced as an athletic director and maybe some of the challenges you see currently in the game and in university sport?
Well, I think one of the biggest changes that has occurred over the years is the issue of financial aid scholarships to athletes. Yeah. Back in the day, people came to the school simply because they wanted to come to your school and play for you. but now is a little more enticement relative to the mighty dollar and who's going to offer me this. And I'm not sure how healthy that is. The other big thing is the athletes have changed. I mean, they're bigger and they're stronger and they're fitter. I'm not quite sure if they're any better athletes than we were, because we played lots of sports. And I'm still a firm believer in doing that. But there's no question that their ability, their size, their speed has been a tremendous difference back from the days of the 60s and 70s and 80s.
Tell me this. You're talking about attracting student athletes. And, you know, for myself as a coach, one of my – I just mentioned in the initial segment here today that recruiting is huge for me. As someone who's been a part of Bishop's University for 25, 30, 40 years – What do you think stands out when we're trying to attract a student athlete to Bishop's University?
Well, I always used to say to the young people that this is the most important decision you're going to make in your life. And please understand that you must make that decision for yourself. Not for the coach, not for me recruiting you, but for yourself. Because at this institution that you choose to select, this is where you're going to make your lifelong friends. And this is where the biggest influences on your life are going to happen. High school friends come and go. Cégep friends come and go. University friends stay forever. So I always used to encourage them to make sure that you're making the right decision for you. Not for me, even though I'm here trying to talk you into coming. Make sure you're making it for yourself.
It's some great words of advice. Now tell me, after you left Bishop's University as athletic director, I guess you had a vast network of people you'd been introduced to over the years. You dabbled in politics a bit. Can you talk about that?
Well, I was a town councilor in Lenoxville from 85 to 93, and then returned after I retired in 2001 to 2009 when the merger took place. And then, so I did that for 16 years altogether. I guess it was a sideline, but it was. I always like to give back. I don't think I'm a taker. I think I'm more of a giver, and I think that's very important. And then I was foolish enough to run for the Federal Liberal Party in 2015 as a candidate in Sherbrooke, and we did very well. We raised the popular vote from 9% to 32%, but as most good people, I lost, and I don't particularly care to lose.
Well,
I gave it a shot.
Are you going to give it another shot?
No. I'm riding off into the sunset and playing some golf and helping Bishops out in a few administrative functions and spending time with my wife visiting my grandchildren.
Perfect. Well, you know, Tom, seeing that this is a show about women's basketball at Bishop's University, I'm wondering if you have any fond memories of a game or a team that you saw over the years or some of your impressions of the program.
Well, you know, I got to Bishop's in 79, and then, you know, 4 years later in 83 and 84, you know, Wayne Hussey's Lady Gators win back-to-back national championships. Yeah. And that was pretty sweet. A small school being able to do that. But and that was wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And boy, Wayne had those girls clicking, and they didn't get a day off, man. They went every day of the week all year. Resulted in 2 national championships, good students, the whole thing. But one of the highlights for me administratively was when we hosted the national championships at Bishop's in the present gym, had a rubber surface. You know, we had to meet all the requirements. We had a host hotel. We had an organizing committee, and we were very successful. It was on television. So it was a wonderful learning experience for all of us. Great volunteers. That was a highlight, no question, in women's basketball.
Well, you know, Tom, you know, part of our long-term goal, strategic plan is to you know, we're dreaming of one day hosting another national championship there, and I'm hoping you could jump on board with that. I'm hoping maybe you can touch a bit on your role with the Canada Summer Games and your involvement with that, because that was huge for the community in Sherbrooke.
Yeah, you know, outside of the educational realm, that's probably the highlight of my career. You know, we obtained the games in 2009. I wasn't on the bid committee. I was only an ambassador for the bid committee. And then the mayor approached me after we got it and asked me if I'd be interested in chairing the board and chairing the executive committee, which I did as a volunteer. And I loved every minute of it. And it took me from 2009 to 2015. I met 6,300 volunteers from the city of Sherbrooke. So many people across the Canada, 20 NSOs, and on and on and on and on. And the city of Sherbrooke has never been the same with the success that the organizing committee, the community, had for the Canada Games in 2013.
Well, that's great. Now, we'd be remiss. I know you've had a long relationship with Bruce Coulter, and he's just had an unbelievable impact on everybody around you. I'm wondering if you can give us a little Bruce Coulter story or touch on maybe how he impacted your life over the years.
Well, I got lots of them, but okay. I can't repeat some of them. But no, Bruce was a mentor. He was a mentor to many people, including myself. And he didn't try and teach you anything. It was just through osmosis. You learned from him. And you learned how to compete properly. You never learned how to lose graciously, because there's no such thing as that. Bruce didn't like to lose, but we were always kept our wits about us. But he taught me how to deal with young people and how to respect them, how to believe in them, how to lead them like he did, without actually having a blueprint for it. It was just his personality and his strength of character and his morals that he imparted to me that helped me through my career. And he's been an extremely close friend.
Well, Tom, I thank you so much for taking the time. For all the listeners out there, it's a privilege and an honor to have Tommy here. And those are some great thoughts you had. I'm hoping you could join us again in the future.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday night.
Yes.
Watching you guys beat UQIM.
Okay, we'll see you then.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yes.
Okay, welcome back to the wrap-up of Time Out with Coach Craig Norton. We've had a great show thus far. This weekend, we open up our conference play. This is what we've been training for all year, all summer. The reason why we played NCAA games and non-conference games. Our conference is so, so strong. This weekend, McGill plays against Laval. We host UQAM Saturday night at the Athletic Complex at 6 o'clock. The men play at 8. We hope everybody's going to be out there. There's going to be a live webcast. Is that correct, Diane?
Yes.
UQAM, I think they went at 3-5 in the preseason. We went 5-3. I think it's a fairly even matchup. But we have not beat UQAM in a number of years, all right? And we need to learn to compete hard for 40 minutes, and it's going to be a huge test. Now, they have a tremendous lineup. They're well-coached. Coach Albina runs a terrific program there. They're known for their lockdown defense, and they it's a war when you play them for 40 minutes. And they will foul so much that the refs will stop calling it. Now, Diane, can you touch on their five starters? Who starts for them? And if you have any insights on any of them that you may want to share with our listeners.
So their key returning players are number 9, Sarah Cabana, number 21, Jessica Lubin, who's in her fifth year, number 13, Alex Dufresne, and number 20, Clara Blaché, and number 8, Roxanne Duer.
Well, thanks, Diane. I think the two key players for them are their bigs, and it's Jessica Lubin, who's in her fifth year, who's just a tremendous athlete, plays really hard. She was the conference player of the year 2 years ago. So she was a first team All-Canadian, and she's a perennial All-Star. Sarah Cabana has traditionally given us fits because she can go left, she can go right, she's strong around the rim. So it's going to be a tremendous matchup. Either way it goes, like we're looking for some success at home early in the season, and I think the girls are ready. What would you say, Diane?
I think we are.
Now, we're going to close up the show. I'm going to talk a bit about the song this week is entitled "When That Rough God Goes Riding" by Van Morrison once again. All right, and I'm a believer that basketball mirrors life. It's a microcosm of life. All right, and in a 40-minute basketball game, there's going to be many ups and downs, just like in life. And I think part of what I try to teach the girls is we have to learn to be comfortable being uncomfortable. All right? There's no choice. There's going to be discomfort. How are you going to handle it when that rough god goes riding? Anyways, we look forward to seeing everybody Saturday night. It's been a great show, and we'll be back next week. Diane, great job. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, sir.